This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Folks, welcome once again to our favorite weekly segment here on Make It Plain, Thursday Coast, with the founder of the largest online progressive community, dailycoast.com, the host of the podcast, The Brief, and the founder of Civics with a Q, Marcos Melissas. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Good to have you, as always. So we've gotten people were glad to hear our report last week. But then they also said, told me to tell you to stop talking about it because we need to act like we're 10 points ahead. I said, I get it. We're going to do it. It just on that point, though, any update, any new information since last week in terms of what the numbers are looking like?
So the only update is that we got a bunch of new, really good looking numbers from North Carolina. So now in the aggregate, Kamala Harris is ahead by a sliver, 0.1 in the 538 aggregate. It shows that North Carolina is absolutely in play, only lost it by about 1.3 points in 2020. So it was close then. And we've seen in the voter registration numbers that particularly women and Black women are off the charts. And when a race is that tight in a state like North Carolina with a large Black population, that matters. So yep, it is absolutely in play. We've also seen three polls in a row now showing that Florida is within between 3 and 5 points. And that's still a bit outside the range of a good ground game. And the Harris campaign is not building a ground game in Florida. So it's a tougher thing, but it's to me, it's a nice old bellwether. You know, if we see that continuing to tighten, it shows that Harris is actually gaining, approaching like landslide territory. We're not there. We're not anywhere near that yet, but the conditions are certainly present for that to happen. So, and I'm sure we'll be talking about the debate because there's nothing more exciting. I haven't slept, Mark, since Tuesday. I've been so excited.
Yeah,
I'm just like buzzing with excitement. But the conditions are certainly there, given how Trump is just losing his mind. He's incapable of staying on message. He's beset by grievances. His rallies are boring. It wasn't just a taunt by Harris. I think the reason it landed so well is because Trump knows it's true.
Yeah.
And he couldn't just laugh it off because, you know, she laughed off when he said, you pay people to come to your rallies, right? Because it's so absurd. He knows he's boring and you can't escape that. So There's no ground game. I've been writing about that this week, how the Republicans still don't have a ground operation. All these pieces are sliding into place. Now, what happens? Well, we're going to find out. Like, you know, but certainly the conditions are there for Harris to take a big leap forward in the weeks ahead.
The debate, though, I want to go back to Florida for a minute, because you actually wrote yesterday about how this obsession with the Haitian community in Ohio could actually help in Florida in terms of the Senate race there.
Yeah, no, turns out, you know, I went in to write the piece and I was digging up information. And in my mind, I thought the Haitian community was your typical community of color immigrant community with low voter participation rates. Turns out the Haitian community in Florida has about 70% participation rate. That's higher than the average. It's in a very engaged community. And it's politically complicated. It's not as simple as Black Democrat. And just, we know that South Florida politics are, you know, they're complicated. That's a good word. And so there was no, it's Democratic leaning, but, you know, maybe not as strongly so as other Black communities. This could actually potentially alter the shape of not just the presidential race, because the presidential, the Haitian community in Florida is about 3% of Florida's population. So it's small, it's big as a minority community, it's small as an overall percentage. But if that race becomes a 3-point race, that could be the margin of difference. And Rick Scott has never won a race in Florida, you know, the third largest state in the country, by more than 10,000 votes. Like, he has squeaked through both his governor races and his Senate race. He is not taking anything for granted. He immediately came out and talked about how great the Haitian community is. He knows he doesn't want to rile them up. He may not win them. He does not want to completely activate them against him. So he's definitely keeping an eye on that issue. And he's probably wishing that Trump would shut the hell up. But Florida you know, it's broken enough Democratic hearts over the years that nobody's going to really put any eggs on that basket. Right. But it has the potential of really sort of giving us a look at Harris's overall appeal. If she suddenly makes that competitive in any real way, it shows that she's got broader appeal than just beyond the core battleground states. We have that Senate race, and it's more and more important that we win that Senate race or Colin Eldred in Texas, because we're going to lose a Virginia race, and the race in Montana is looking very tough for us right now. So if we lose Montana, we can lose West Virginia as long as we hold the presidency. We cannot lose Montana and not make that up either in Texas and Florida. So there's all these sort of subplots that are starting to emerge, and Florida's right in the middle of them. And a lot of those. So it absolutely bears watching and keeping a close eye.
Yeah, yeah. And Rick Scott may know how unwise it is to offend the Haitians. I'm sure you recall in 92 when Daddy Bush was running for re-election, and as president, he stopped the Haitian boats from coming in, denied temporary protective status. This was a big story. It's probably one of the biggest stories before or since regarding Black immigrants, so to speak. You know, all immigration stories are usually strictly south of the border, Central America, Latin America. But this was Haitian. It was huge. And people were down on boats and everything. And he denied entry. And so there's an urban legend, although it may not be that mythical, I've asked Haitians this, that the Haitians who have it's often one of the Haitian forms of spirituality is often stereotyped and ridiculed, but it is their spirituality. And the word is that they put some on Bush to cause him to lose that election. And if you ask a Haitian if that's true, they say those who tell don't know, and those.
Hey, I'll take their spiritual voodoo help all day long. Come on.
Right. So Rick Scott probably knows. No, I don't want to. You don't want to rile up no Haitians. He knows what that might mean. So, But I mean, it really is. And let's segue into the debate. We've often discussed, we've always looked for thought we had on numerous occasions. There's always one thing that takes somebody out. Howard Dean screamed, and it shouldn't have, but it took him out. I just got off the phone. Who was I talking to? Somebody you know was just calling me and saying, Mark, how is it that Biden got taken out for his debate performance, but not one person has called on Trump to drop out after that terrible debate performance? But if there's any just one thing that is living and has a life to it beyond the 48-hour cycle, I mean, dude actually got up there and said, for Haitians eating dogs and cats, and it has become its own meme. And I don't know, man. I'm sure even for his base, not that they hate him or disagree with him, but they even have to be saying, why is he even doing that kind of crazy stuff? No policy, nothing of meaning, nothing of substance. But let's segue into that and get your thoughts on how you think the vice president did. I think, you know, we'll stipulate, I'm sure we agree she did an excellent job, but millions watched it. I think this was this the most watched?
Yeah, it was like 68 million, and that's not including all the memes and TikToks and everything else the day after, right? So this is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, Mark, it was, I mean, yeah, we'll stipulate, she was beyond fantastic. She was so freaking good. If you go back, I watched the debate again and just watch her on the split screen. She did not slip up for a second. That was almost 2 hours of her being on camera, and her reactions were freaking spot on. Trump was, he couldn't look at her. He was flailing. He was nervous. He was pissed. She was just locked on, staring at him. It was the biggest freaking power move. And when people talk, you know, oh, she can't stand up to dictators, she has literally stood up to a dictator for 2 hours. That dictator could not even look at her. He was right. So freaking right. Angry and discombobulated and scared that he could not even look at her once. From the moment she shook his hand, he was off his game. And it's funny because you say there's always that moment, right? Just like 10 moments. I just wrote a story, another story about the debate, literally filed it right before we got on. And so I had to go back and look at the transcript. And there is a moment where Donald Trump says, we have a president who doesn't even know he's alive. I don't remember him saying that because there was so much other crazy shit that just didn't even register. Like, there was so much. And so he really, really screwed up. And you know what's amazing is in Axios this morning had a behind the scenes story look at the debate, the Trump preparation, which I highly recommend because his people said, she's going to come at you on crowd size. She's going to come at you at this. Like, nobody was pretending. This wasn't an ambush. The Harris campaign made it clear. Everybody, the pundits were like, yeah, obviously she's going to try to trigger him with the crowd size. His whole staff, and they had him practice how he was going to respond. And the second she trotted it out, he falls apart. And to me, and what it's Jim Vanderhei and Mike Allen in Axios, they sort of point out that he can't change because he's too old and set in his ways. He is too beset by his old grievances to like escape them. He believes the fake news, even though he came up with the word fake news. He actually believes fake news. And so none of that, all of that says he's not fit to be president. All of that says he's not fit to be president. If he cannot control his impulses when his advisors are giving him good advice. And that was good advice. It was obvious. She's going to come at you with crowd size. Ignore it. I mean, Mark, he came at her with all sorts of nonsense that she somehow managed to ignore it, right? Because that's what we talked about Joe Biden. Joe Biden could not let stuff go, right? Biden kept trying to respond. And so he would say the craziest things and she let it go. It was masterful because what? Because they prepared her for that. And I'm sure whoever played Donald Trump kept throwing all sorts of crazy, maybe even threw Haitian dogs and cats in Springfield, Ohio. And when he said that, she started laughing. And to me, it almost like he actually, like we practiced since he actually went there. Like he wasn't, they threw the craziest stuff at me at debate prep just so I would be ready for the not so crazy stuff. And he actually got crazier than debate prep, right? Like it was absolutely wild. So you're going to see some polls this week that maybe show some shift or no shift. This is the kind of event that it's a slow burn. People are going to simmer on this for a while and be like, yeah, like he couldn't control himself with comma. How is he going to control himself with actual enemies of the United States or his political opponents? And because there was nothing on that stage that looked presidential when it came to Trump. It was all of it. And Mark, I also want a couple of things. Young people haven't seen Donald Trump. Young people have not seen Donald Trump. Like these Zoomers weren't politically engaged during the Trump years, right? They got a lot of the stain washed stuff on their feeds, right? Because they got to see him unfiltered. And right. The memes and the videos on TikTok right now are absolutely brutal. Like absolutely brutal.
Good.
Not even getting into the Taylor Swift endorsement, right? Like just them going like, oh, this is Donald Trump. My daughter's one of them, right? Like she knew Donald Trump is bad. Like she was at a debate party with her friends and she's on a debate team. This is probably not normal for high schoolers, but, and she was texting me like, what is going on? It's like, yes, this is Donald Trump. It's not he wants to deport Muslims and like all the bad things. Yeah, those are things that exist. But no, this is Donald Trump unfiltered. Congratulations, you're finally seeing it. And so there is that piece. There was a reminder to people who forgot, right? Like once a president's out of office, their approval ratings go up. Joe Biden's approval ratings have gone up, even though he's not out of office. Once it's out of the electoral realm, this is a reminder to that crowd that, no, this guy's pretty, pretty rough. And so in every possible way, this was a disaster for Donald Trump. His own surrogates couldn't defend him. So he had to show up to the spin room to defend himself, right? And because his surrogates had enough pride to be like, yeah, no, that was pretty rough. So he went in there and talked about, I won the Newsmax poll 92-8. Like, oh, okay, congratulations. You won the Newsmax poll. A good one. So he had to defend himself. And I don't know how this does not affect numbers. And it may not be apparent early on, but it is the seeds have been planted. And you better believe that the Harris campaign is going to keep reminding people over and over and over again. And she was brutal.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah. I think she gets A's even for the body language, you know, because people look at that, how you respond to things. And some of her body language made her look magnanimous to the point of pitying him.
Pity. Oh, yeah. That's nothing worse.
And she was like, you need some help. And then when he said, you know, you don't have to respond to things in a verbal way if you got the right body language. So when he says her father is a Marxist, and that's now the famous pose when she put her hand.
Yeah.
You know, what is going on with you? What are you talking about? Even in terms of her responses, what I found, Marcos, because and I did this at the convention too. I've been trying to pretend I'm someone who is not a political junkie like you and me, just a regular person. And it shows when somebody is naturally, genuinely, organically responding to something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice, when she was speaking and responding, even as good as those answers were, it didn't seem rehearsed. It seemed like this is a natural response that someone would make under the circumstances, including not responding to stupidity. You know, now I noticed for some reason, I don't know who was in the control room at ABC, But apparently they weren't in sync with the moderators, because it was clear that Lindsay and David did not want his mic turned back on as often as he was, as it was. But then I don't think that helped him either.
No.
It showed again through a crowd, this is how different and obnoxious he is. Then he's saying to people your daughter's age in the audience that me, you, and everybody else runs out here and picks up babies after birth, after they're born, and abort them.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just, of all the, you know, more people, there are, if you and I wanted to get rich and have as many viewers and stuff on our shows as we wanted to, we would just do an alien conspiracy show. Everybody does it. That's what people are into. No one does killing, aborting born baby show, and nobody's going to do that. That's not a conspiracy. Now, you might say people in the alien conspiracies are kind of out there tinfoilish, but if we said, let's do a show documenting people having babies and then aborting them, that's sick. Nobody, that's not what's going on. So, and then let's do a show on people eating cats and dogs. That's not a real thing. So I think in a way it further exposed him, like you said, to people who just had not seen how crazy he is. No substance to anything he said. He didn't talk about a single policy. The first answer she gave was on the small business, home ownership, right off the box. Lastly, the one thing I wish she had done, and I know in prep, in moment you can't think of everything, but some things you need to repeat, need to hit more than once. I wish she would have hit at least once more how he killed. She did it well the first time, but you have to reinforce it. He killed the immigration.
Yeah.
And we weren't in debate prep, but it didn't take a rocket science to know that's where he was going to go. You got to really bring that home, because he can't talk about immigration while he's killing something that would have been the most significant enforcement. She hit it once and it was strong, but if I were her, I would have just, boom, pinged that. And then even, you know, as to recall, wait, well, if you're from, why did you kill the bill? Yeah. You know, so, and Muir and Davis probably could have drilled down on that a bit more, but otherwise.
They tried though. They tried twice to ask him about why did he kill the bill, and he ignored it. And this is where I think Kamala could have hit it, because had he actually responded, then she could have been like, you killed the bill. So according to the Axios article, the strategy was supposed to be every time that Kamala said that she wanted something, he was supposed to say, you've been vice president for 4 years. Why hasn't it happened already? And so that would have been a good place, like, because people like you
right,
keep the bills, right? And so it didn't go there. So, you know, one of the things that I think is underappreciated, too, is just how Trump may have really undermined himself with Republicans. And the reason that he did that, the way he did that, is he has that weird narrative that everybody wanted Roe v. Wade, abortion sent back to the states. Republicans and Democrats and everybody and every legal scholar, everybody wanted it sent back to the states. He keeps repeating that, right? And it's just patently absurd, and it's so stupid beyond stupid that I don't understand how he does it. The reality is, remember, in Kansas, which is a blood red state, 60% of people voted to keep abortion legal. We've seen that happen in places like Kentucky, and we're going to see it in Montana. In Florida, the abortion initiative is headed to victory. A lot of Republicans support the right to choose. And so when he sits up there and he says everybody wanted it sent back to the states, there is about 20% of Republicans going, I didn't want it sent back to the states. And if he's lying about that, what else is he lying about? He's undermining, because there's not a single Democrat or independent, you know, who's like, okay, Donald, yeah, we all wanted it, right? So he's undermining himself with his own supporters who are pro-choice supporters, and he knows they exist because he's tied up in knots over the issue, because he knows the issue's there. But then he trots out, does everybody want to send back to the states? I don't understand why he keeps doing that. It makes no sense. I can't imagine there's a single one of his advisors that are telling him to say that, that probably saying the opposite. but he somehow has landed on it because he cannot admit any weakness, any sign of being wrong in anything. So he did it because everybody wanted to do it and everybody's praising him. And he's such a genius for doing it. Nobody else could have done it. It's freaking harming him. It's absolutely hurting him. So, I mean, he has a habit of this, right? Like taking that AI endorsement of, you know, that supposed endorsement from Taylor Swift that supposedly endorsed Donald Trump. It was blatantly false. He posted it. Thank you. Gives her a perfect excuse and then come at him and endorse against him. Like, so he keeps kind of shooting himself in the face. And that debate was literally every answer. And so, yeah, he spoke like 7 more minutes, which in normal times you'd think, all right, the moderators couldn't control him. I don't think Kamala had any problem with that. I think she was totally fine because every time he opened his mouth, it was just absolute nonsense and word salad. And, you know, it was absolutely so. As Republicans sort of, you know, you could tell they knew they lost because they're crying about the moderators being biased against Trump. And keep in mind, the moderators twice asked them about the Afghanistan withdrawal, which was supposedly his big thing, right? Like attacks here. He didn't answer the question because he wanted to like rail against whatever Kamala had just accused him of, right? I mean, she laid every trap and he walked around getting caught in every single one of them. So if there was any bias, is that they let him talk so much because it hurt him so much. Like if they're biased against Trump, they did it by leaving his mic on because he did not do himself. Like I can't imagine a single person that might have been undecided being decided otherwise. And you saw it in a lot of these media focus groups, right? I think the CNN one had 30 people on them and 28 said that Kamala won and 2 said that Trump did. And I'm sure if we dug into those toasts too, we'd find out that they're like RNC committee members.
Right.
What happened. Because there's just literally nobody. Lindsey Graham was on the spinner room and he's like, yeah, whoever debate prepped her should be fired. And that was Tulsi Gabbard, which is freaking hilarious because that's what you get for hanging out with incompetent dictator apologists. He's walking out with Lara Loomer, right? Who's now making Marjorie Taylor Greene look reasonable in comparison. I mean, he has just completely lost the plot. He's surrounded by the most deplorable of deplorable people. They're feeding him information that is patently false and he believes it. Eric Erickson, the radio host, conservative radio host, he replaced Rush Limbaugh on a lot of stations. He was literally screaming all caps on Twitter that this is what happens when you come up with fake stories like the Springfield dog one. Now Donald Trump believes it and it's going to cost him the election. He was literally screaming his head off in frustration. Wow. But yeah, they're trapped. They're trapped by that crazy base. And until they get rid of that MAGA base, which, you know, hopefully November is the end of them. Because then they'll all eat each other.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The two magic words you mentioned, though, Taylor Swift. I mean, for me, that pretty much makes it over. And then Caitlin Clark likes Taylor Swift's post.
Now
they're jumping on her saying, shut up and dribble. And I'm like, I don't understand how people think that's helping them. And I mean, these are two young women. They're going to support a woman, especially a woman who understands the need to restore women's bodily autonomy. So Taylor Swift doing that, I just don't see how this goes any other. Now, I saw some numbers. I'm sure they've gone up since I saw them, I think late last night. 337,000 people registered to vote after Taylor Swift made her announcement.
Well, they visited the site. We don't know if they actually registered to vote, but yeah.
Oh, I thought they visited. Okay. They thought they registered. Okay.
Yeah, the API doesn't say, but it's absolutely goosing. I mean, obviously, it also in web searches too for voter registration are way up. So all the right things. So here, let me explain something because people are going to be confused. So the polls may not move because of that. It does not mean that this doesn't help Kamala Harris. And I will explain. Polling is just as much an art as it is a science. Because I can poll. I have a polling firm. I can tell you that Black women are 94.4% for Kamala Harris, 4% Donald Trump. Every pollster is going to get similar numbers, right? It's pretty easy to get a universe of Black women and find out how they're going to vote. You can use white men, old men, whatever, right? You can do that. Pollsters do that. That's the easy part. What's not easy is what percentage of the population of the voting pool they are going to be. If Black women are 1% of the voting pool, it, you know what, 94.4% doesn't have that much of an effect. If they are 50% of the voting pool, obviously it's a blowout, right? And I say that's an exaggeration, but you really have to guess how much of the electorate is going to be Black and Latino and Asian and white and white liberals and white conservatives. And so there's a secret sort of sauce, and it's really educated guessing. Mm-hmm. So I could tell you that in 2020, 6% of the population was Black women. 6% of the voters were Black women. I could tell you that 18% of 18 to 34 year olds, the electorate was 18% 18 to 34 year olds. They are like 35% of the population. So they vote well under. What happens is instead of voting it, you know, if they're not just 18% of the population, but they're 30%, they vote at their rates, and they're 60-40 Kamala Harris, right? It's a blowout. It's a blowout.
Yeah.
So we don't know. And pollsters don't know, right? So right now we have models based on history. young people are going to be about 16-18%. In a crazy, if you want to like just assume they're going to go nuts, let's get them up to 20. But they're like 33% of the population.
Yeah.
And so what happens when Taylor Swift comes in and she activates? So instead of 18%, they are 25% of the voting pool. What happens? The pollsters cannot pick that up. We inherently cannot pick that up. We can see that, yeah, young people are very much Kamala Harris. And maybe, but the polling models will not, they cannot process suddenly like another 10 million young people voting.
Wow.
Did that make sense? Because it's a little complicated.
You know, no. And I'm glad you did it. I mean, you've done it before. And that's the point, folks. Bottom line is polling still has to rely a great deal on hypotheses.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, we look back historically, we can look back at Obama's races. The black electorate overperformed after years of derision for underperforming. So when a population, so you can only go, a pollster and folks can only go on what the most recent bucket of information is. But then when people exceed that turnout and that performance, that creates a new type of a thing.
What happened in 2016 is that if you look at the subgroups, the polling was right. They just did not anticipate this sort of hidden white rural vote to come out because they hadn't come out before. Historically, it did not exist. Trump got them out.
Yeah. Now, and since we're doing this, so let me ask you a question, because there was another phenomenon for which a famous phrase was coined back in the 80s. When the black mayor of Los Angeles, Tom Bradley, ran for governor, he had all the polls. And then when he lost, the term was coined. In fact, I think one of my professors coined it, Dr. Ron Walters at Howard University, the Bradley effect, where you had people poll but lied about who they were. I wonder how commonplace that is. And I want to be specific. When we look at, for example, because I saw some writing the other day about the Latino population, particularly Latino men, and them kind of being in Trump's corner, I wonder how prevalent that is these days, Marcos, where some people, if you're calling people, some people may be afraid or feel as though there are repercussions if they tell you exactly how they're going to vote. Is that a thing? Do we also find in reverse that there are people who will say, well, I'm going to vote a certain way because they feel like in that moment is politically expedient and safer for them to say they're going to vote for one candidate over another?
So the Bradley effect is sort of predicated on the notion that if you're talking to a human on the other end of the phone, you don't want to sound racist. So, or sexist, right? So it, with Bradley, he was a black candidate and people claimed that they were going to vote for him because they thought if I say I'm voting for the white person, then they're going to think I'm racist.
Right.
That's why they were lying. It's much less of an issue now because the vast majority of pollsters, if not all of them, most of the polling is not done with human callers or it's heavily supplemented by other means. So that could be robocalling. So people have no problem telling the truth if like vote one for Trump, you know, press two for Harris. Or like Civics Does, which is an online panel. So you're, you know, basically responding anonymously to a web form. And so we haven't seen anything of that sort. So people have, it's when I'm talking to another person that they get all sort of squeamish. So the less the less a pollster does that, the less chance that happens. And all of the good pollsters, I don't know about the crap Republican pollsters, because those aren't real polling in any real way. They flood the zone to impact the polling aggregate with like bullshit polls. It's a thing, unbelievably. But the real pollsters, they all, even the ones that still do some human calling, they still heavily supplement with online panels. Because first of all, they can't get people to answer the phone. Second of all, they can't get any young people to answer the phone, period, the end. Young people don't answer phone calls. So so to reach those demographics, they have to use other means, texting and online panels, to do so. So that totally lessens that possibility. And I think third, there is Trump voters are not shy to say, I'm going to vote against a black person. Like it's, you don't see that anymore. And to the point where the New York Times polling, one of the reasons they sort of missed in 2016 is because they only counted surveys that were finished. And so they would call some Trump supporter and the Trump supporter would be like, I'm voting for Trump. And then they would hang up and then they would discard that, right? This year, they're actually counting that.
I see.
It's incomplete, but because it's a real Trump voter, right? I mean, yeah, this guy's going to vote Trump and he could probably assume he's going to vote for, and it's probably, I say his, he, because I'm sure like 95% of them are men. And I'm just going to vote Republican the rest of the ballot, right? But they can at least get a better read on that top of the ballot. And which I think is good methodology, is it's, that's still a Trump voter in your random voter file that you called up. So pollsters have gotten better. Definitely 2020, the polling was fine. And in 2022, it understated Democratic support. In 2024, it has overstated Trump support in the primaries. And I think that's important to keep in mind moving forward, that Trump supporters are more likely to answer the polling than other people. And I will say that you know, I can't talk specifics about our civics polling, but it looks like the public polling. I mean, it's the battlegrounds are tight. Kamala has a slight edge. And I will say Marquette, which is the best pollster in Wisconsin, just gave Kamala a 5-point lead. 52-37. I mean, Wisconsin has been trending in our direction, and the suburbs, the Milwaukee suburbs had been a red bastion for a long time. They're finally starting to turn. A lot of good things are happening. Like I keep saying, the environment is there for the bottom to follow up from Trump. Like it may take a little bit of time. People don't realize this, but in 1980, Jimmy Carter was tied or leading Ronald Reagan until 2 weeks before the election. And then the bottom fell out.
Yeah.
We may actually very well see that this time, because the doubts about Trump are growing. He cannot do anything to address them. He's always had this 46% limit nationally because his appeal is limited. The more nuts he acts in public, now that people are starting to pay attention, they weren't paying attention before Labor Day. Now that they saw him in a debate, it'll be easier, particularly when Kamala said, like, go to his rallies. Like, that was freaking brilliant. Go to his rallies.
Like, see it for yourself. People get bored and exhausted and they leave.
Don't believe me. Like, yeah, I'm biased. You go. And then the piece that I think, I hope that they hang the rest of this campaign on this piece. Because the piece, to me, the most important line that Harris said that entire debate, and she got so many good ones. The most important one is when she said, go to that. Go to his rally. He will not talk about you.
That's right. He's going to talk about himself.
And if there was something I wish he would have reinforced just as a met, that would have been the point. He will not talk about you. There he goes. He's talking about himself again because he doesn't want to talk about you. And that is powerful. And if you're going to put doubts in the minds of Republicans, who are like maybe a little squishy, or those suburban swing voters, that's a big one, because really it sort of calls in his narcissism and so everything he says kind of gets slotted into that narrative. And I hope that becomes the dominant narrative. And I hope the media picks up on it. And for the media to pick up on it, Harris and the Democrats really need to harp on it. I know I'm going to be harping on it, because it is absolutely true. And it is really what is most unsettling about Trump these days, is how people talk about he's stuck on his old grudges and his grievances, and because it's about him,
right?
Me, 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 I, me, me. So he's not running for president of me and I. He's running for president of the United States. And so there's all these sort of seeds that have been planted and all these dynamics that are in play. And I have really good hopes. We, you know, until I see it, I can't sit there and, you know, brag about it. But the environment is there for a surprising, wouldn't be surprising to me, but landslide victory, because it won't take much to move numbers. Just a couple points and boom, Florida's in play, Texas is in play, and the battlegrounds are locked in for Harris. And Trump just flails more and more as he sees himself losing. So yeah, we're not there yet. It's going to take a lot of work, Mark. This is not something that happens. People sitting at home it's not a spectator sport. But if we work hard and we do what we need to do, and I keep reminding people, you know what happens if we win and we hold the Senate and pick up the House? DC becomes a state. Puerto Rico becomes a state. We just made the Senate much more equitable. We passed the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Suddenly they can't do their Voting Suppression Act. Like, we save democracy and we create a much more equitable balance institutional balance between the liberal and Republicans. We can expand the Supreme Court. Suddenly this regressive right wing 6-3 majority, we can make that history. Those are the things that happened. I'm not even talking policy. I'm talking just the structure of our democracy. Because once we get that, the policy follows.
Yeah. Yep. You're right.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Marcos Melitzis, folks, as always, dailycoach.com. Check it out. Check out the podcast, The Brief, wherever you get your podcasts. She is headed to, she'll be speaking in North Carolina in a couple hours, and if you all watch my social media, stay with Make It Plain and Minister, the chair Jamie Harrison is gonna join us for a live.
Ooh, nice.
4:30 Eastern today, so we'll hear directly from him in terms of what's going on, and also just want to acknowledge too that the fundraising continues to go through the roof, Marcos.
$25 million the 24 hours after the the debate,
and we're still talking about mostly small dollar.
$25 million. She outraced them 2.5 to 1 last month, and I watched that because his fundraising was down in August down in September. Wait, what month are we in? We're in September. He was down in August. Instead of compared to July, and July is not a great fundraising month in general. So his engagement, his people are tuning out.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
And yep.
DailyCoach.com. Thank you for another edition of Thursday Coach, folks. We'll be back again next week. Share and like and spread the word. And as we always say, get involved. I didn't do it this week. I forgot, but we got to do. Maybe next week we'll put together a little clearinghouse, one-stop shop where everybody can go and see how they can get involved and how you can phone bank and text bank from your home. Okay. Guess what, y'all? Netflix isn't going anywhere. I got a little trouble for saying this at the DNC. People said that Fox tried to come after me. We've got 50 days now to be on the same page.
So, then,
go ahead. Yes.
Progressive Turnout Project. just Google Progressive Turnout Project. The URL is turnoutpack.org. So these are postcards to send to swing voters.
Good.
They give you a script. They give you the addresses. They send you the postcards. I got them here because my daughter and I were cranking through these things. And you don't send them yet. They tell you when to send them. There's nothing that'll move numbers more that you can do than these handwritten postcards to swing state voters. Progressive Turnout Project. There's nothing better. And if you want to do phone call, knock on doors, fantastic. Do all that stuff. But if nothing else, I'm very introverted, Mark. I'm uncomfortable and so for me, calling people or knocking on doors, very uncomfortable. I can write postcards. Yeah. And I'm writing postcards. So Progressive Turnout Project, they give you everything you need to contact swing voters.
Yeah. And folks, that's what you can do. So please, I was saying at the DNC, we can go back to regular mundane misbehavior on November 6th. Trump tweeted that I was saying that people could go crazy. That's the real agenda. But I'll say it again. I wasn't playing. We got 50 days to act right. All right. And then if people want to act up again, November 6th. But it's not a long time. That'll be here before you know it. One band, one sound. That's us. So take some time. Netflix is going to be there November 6th. All the stuff we do, we get home and work from work at night. Netflix, Amazon, Prime Video, all of that is going to be right there. But spend an hour every night spreading the word, postcards, phone banking, and you'll be even better for it. It's really a great way to meet people and engage and just deal with humanity. It's not a bad thing. It's even better than arguing with people on social media.
Does nothing. And you're arguing with Russian bots anyway.
That's so right. That's arguing. Right. Folks, debate you, that you're not going to change a soul.
Yeah.
You don't even know if you're talking to a real person.
You're not.
Right. So folks, please, man, please, sir. Thank you, Marcos, as always, buddy.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Catch you next week.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.